It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Rick Crawford, who represents Arkansas and the 1st District in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the House Ag Committee. Not only that, in a couple of subcommittees as well. You're really staying busy.
I stay busy. It's an occupational hazard up here, though.
Now, when we talk about the House Ag Committee, some of those subcommittees are general farm commodities and risk management. That's one we're pretty familiar with. But then we have the exchanges, energy, and credit. What's happening in there?
Well, I mean, we've had a little bit of a transition on CFTC with a new chairman. So that's one of the things that's new, relatively new, at least in this Congress. Doesn't necessarily follow the congressional schedule, but it's new in this Congress. And so people, I don't think, are going to be too upset about that. It's a good guy, and I don't think there'll be a major departure from what we've seen from the previous director.
So let's talk about something else that doesn't necessarily follow Congress either, as far as in the sessions, but trade issues. You have them, doesn't really matter who your administration is. You've got trade issues, but we also have tariff retaliation going on. Just going to throw that out. What are you seeing?
Well, anytime, you know, it's like the old, science 101, and for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if we do something, it's a safe bet that, you know, one of our trading partners is going to retaliate in kind and in some form. So we implemented tariffs almost a year ago, a little over a year ago, I think, under Section 232 that really focused on steel. Steel is not necessarily the problem. The problem is China, broadly speaking, that continues to flout WTO rules, continues to take advantage of their trading partners, the United States in particular, but not just the United States. But because we're such a big economy and because they're such a big economy, these are the two giants that are kind of at loggerheads with regard to our trading relationship. So that's something that we have to address. So strategically, tariffs come into play in that context. Tactically, may not necessarily agree with everything and how those are rolled out. However, I think the strategic view of this is good in that we need to make China play by the rules. The WTO is not holding them to account. They manipulate their currency. They float their currency. They misreport. If you took away the tariffs, soybeans are probably still at $8.50. And that's because they deliberately misinform, and we respond. And so we increase acres, and as a result, we see a glut of soybeans on the global market, depresses prices, and, you know, that's kind of the world we live in. But they do that for effect, not only to depress prices because they're going to buy at a discount, but before they amend their flawed statement, they'll short the market. So run the market down $2. And they pick up the $2 discount in cash. They've shorted the market, so it's really a net gain of about $4 a bushel to the Chinese. So this can't continue to be allowed to happen. And so the battle lines were drawn along the steel industry, but this really is about the broader picture and China's economic belligerence. And not only economically, but politically and militarily and elsewhere, not just the United States, but around the globe.
But it does give us an opportunity to talk about places we do have agreements. Mm-hmm. And right here at home, you have one with a neighbor to the north, neighbor to the south. USMCA, is the clock ticking on that?
It is. I believe the clock started ticking not long ago. I think we're under about a 90-day review period here. USMCA is something that I think, you know, most people would agree that it needs to be passed. This is NAFTA 2.0, for lack of a better term. And the president said he was going to get us a better deal. I believe he's delivered on that. I don't think there's any reason to delay that any further. We had a little hiccup, as you know, over the last 10 days or so, where, you know, there was a threat of 5% tariff to begin with Mexico if they didn't start to cooperate with us on what amounts to a security issue for the continent, not just for the United States, but certainly for Mexico and then further south in the Northern Triangle. But Mexico needs to be our primary partner in securing our southern border, and I think they got the message. I think the president was very pointed in his delivery of that message. I think they took him at his word. The word is they're now going to deploy 6,000 Mexican National Guard troops to their southern border along with Guatemala, and help us to address our issue with asylum seekers coming across our border. That's going to make a big, big difference. And so with that issue addressed, there's really no reason to not go ahead and move the USMCA here in the House.
But just as important, I think you'd agree, to find new markets to sell our products in. One that you and I have talked about now for years, Cuba. Doesn't look like we're moving forward on Cuba right now. What's happened?
Well, I really had high hopes if there was one thing I could do in this Congress under new management that I thought, well, probably the Cuba Ag Trade Bill would be that thing. And unfortunately, with what took place in Venezuela, and you think, well, what does that have to do with Cuba? Well, they're joined at the hip. So President Díaz-Canel has come out in strong support of Maduro, who most of the global community has rejected as the duly elected leader of Venezuela in favor of Guaido. And they're continuing to support Maduro. That is an affront to this White House. And so he's taken some further action. It doesn't necessarily impact ag trade per se. It is going to curtail travel to Cuba. But as long as Cuba wants to continue to be very vocal in their support of Maduro, they can probably expect that we will respond in kind. Look, President Díaz-Canel is the head of state of a sovereign nation, and it's his prerogative to say what he wants to. But it's also President Trump's prerogative to say what he wants and take the action that he deems is appropriate. Whether we agree with that or not is neither here nor there. But cause and effect, we could probably have maneuvered a lot more efficiently and effectively had he just sort of kept his mouth quiet and let things unfold. But quite frankly, it is going to probably have a little bit of a chilling effect on anything to do with Cuba, at least in the short term.
And when we talk about finding those new markets, how often are we talking about the need for dredging the rivers, making sure our ports are deeper for the ultra-Panamax ships? That leads us into another committee you're involved in, transportation and infrastructure.
Well, we can talk about market access all day, but if we don't have the infrastructure to address that, then we're going to be behind the eight ball even further. So certainly inland waterways are a critical interest of mine, being on the Mississippi River, or the Arkansas River, the White River, the navigable waters that we have really in great abundance in my district. But all up and down the Mississippi River, inland waterways are very important. But even, you think about the Port of New Orleans and the management problems that they have down there, just given the nature of the Mississippi River and, the silting in that takes place frequently and the management that's required to maintain those ports. And as you mentioned, the Panamax too, ships and the continued maintenance that's required in those ports. So we're going to have to make that investment if we're going to be competitive in the global marketplace. And so I'm all for that. And so it's a question of, how do we pay for all these things that we need to do? We certainly need to maintain and upgrade our infrastructure. Where do we get the money? And we have to be creative about this. I think we should be a lot more flexible and with the states, give them a lot more creativity in how they derive revenue to pay for projects that are important, whether it be highways, certainly critical to every state, but even the inland waterways, where we see we're really trying to break down some of the regulatory impediments that prevent, for example, some of the ports that I have along the Mississippi River in my district. Some of the government entities, at the county level and even at the municipal level, say these ports are so important to us, we'll find the money to pay for the dredging. You just got to get us the permit so we can do it. And that's one example of, the constraints of federal overreach in some cases that could be lifted to empower the states, the counties, and even municipalities to do things on their own in the absence of a federal mandate.
And that's really nothing new. If I recall, we've been talking about these user fees and the users coming before Congress saying we'll pay.
Right.
And yet finding a hurdle to try to get over.
Yeah, and this, you know, look, we can find the money. You got to give us the authority to do it. So I think the bigger obstacle, quite frankly, is that regulatory constraint and not the financial constraint, although that is a problem, as we know. Certainly the federal government needs to play a role in that. But most of these state agencies and even county and municipal level will tell you, look, if we could just get the federal government to back up, give us a little flexibility on the permitting process, we think we can make some things happen here on our own terms. And by the way, we think we can pay for it. And it's in their interest to do that. A lot of it is it has to do with timing. You know, there's times when they just need to have a river port dredged immediately because harvest is days away. And that's going to create a major problem in moving grain. And, the Mississippi River is a superhighway, and those on-ramps need to be maintained.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time. Know you've got a busy schedule still ahead. Wish you the best.
Thank you, sir. Good talk to you.
Again, it's Honorable Rick Crawford representing the 1st Congressional District of Arkansas, member of the House Ag Committee on today's Agribusiness Report.